Blog Talk Radio.
Praise God, praise God. Today is the day that the Lord has made for us and through us. One of the things I would say tonight to the beloved who will listen to us, 2 Chronicles 7:14 clearly states, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sins and heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open, and my ears shall attend unto their prayers, that it may be in this place. So I want to say something to each one, everyone tonight that's going to be on the radio. Listen behind the scene, in the scene, through the scene. God is available in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, in the name of Jesus Christ. I know there are a lot of people out there going through some trials and tribulation. But the Master said, Jesus said, he said, bring it all to him. Well, if we're going to bring it all to him, why are we going to worry about it? Sometimes the flesh has a statement it makes. It's going to cry, don't do that to me. Listen to what I got to say. But the Holy Spirit is speaking to our spirit. We need to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to our spirit. The more we hear what the Holy Spirit is saying in these latter days, we need to hear what God through Jesus Christ is saying to us. He said he will lead us. He will guide us. He will show us the way we must go. Now I will say this. There are many men in Houston and the United States of America. Just not too long ago, someday or yesterday, some young man, he shouldn't have been doing drugs. See, when you go out there and play with the devil is going to set you up. He's going to set you up big time. But there were no, where are the mentors? Where are the real mentors? The men who can say, my people that are called by my name, are we called by the name of Jesus Christ? Are we called by God's name? And see, one thing I've come to understand, listen to these words. Christ in me is holy. In Christ in me. It's holy. Christ in me is 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 holy. I don't care what the devil say. See, but we're in a time right now where we can see what the word has said. God said, they that call upon the name of the Lord shall. When we call upon the name of the Lord, let's call his name. Let's honor him. Let's be with him. Let's take his word, what he says. Let's hear what he said. And one of the most important things we can say. I know a lot of people go around, they can quote scriptures backwards and forward. But are you letting the Holy Spirit lead you? Christ, the hope of glory. Christ, the hope of glory. Christ in me is the hope of glory. Christ in me is the hope of glory. Christ in me is the hope of glory. See, the more we take God at his word, God will answer us. I'm a living witness. It appears that things are not going right. But I say, well, I'm not going to say what somebody said, God got it. I'm not going to say that. Because Christ in me, the hope of glory. The Christ in me is the hope of glory. When the Christ in me is the hope of glory, I don't care what somebody else say. It's all what God has said in his word through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, he says, the words I give to you, the Father has given to me. Lord, have mercy. I'm getting happy. Praise you, Father. See, the words that the Father has given me, I give them to you. Now, there are some words they asked the Lord. He said, some words of the Father has kept for himself. Even I, the Son of God, don't know. What? Yep. There is still a secret. Praise God. Praise God. But the ones he has given to us, If we can stand before him on that final day and all he can see is the blood of Jesus Christ on our garments. I know the judge is supposed to come on. Judge, are you on with us right now?
Judge? Yes, sir, and I'm listening. Good evening to you. I'm listening to you. I'm listening to your word.
Oh, praise God. I get excited sometimes.
As we should.
I'm eating off of my people. If my people.
Yes, sir.
If my people. Now, I'll put on the underscore. When my people.
That's
that
it.
Are called by my name. What name is that? The living God. Shall humble themselves. Judge, I'm going to turn it over to you because the show is about you coming on telling what God has laid on your heart. On your heart. So tell a nation what God has said to you.
Hey, well, good evening to your listening audience. One of the, in Revelations, it talks about that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb. Of course, those are the Christian. Those are those who believe in Christ, the followers, the disciples. And it says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the sharing or the word of their testimony. And which means that God will allow his kids to utilize those experiences that he's allowed each one of us, those circumstances where our land is jacked up and messed up, where our lives are not congruent, where circumstances don't work out, and then he shows up and delivers, or he provides a word and gives some understanding as to why we've had to, why he took us that way on our path of intimacy with him. And we have an opportunity at some later date to share our experiences along with the word of God to reach not a listening audience, but certainly that's what my desire is tonight, but those persons that you come in contact on a daily basis as you are being the church in the world, as you are being the salt that the Bible speaks about, as you allow God to put in and take out individuals on your day's journey, wherein you are being an obedient kid cooperating with his plans. What am I saying? We've all heard that. And Jeremiah says, I know the plans that I have for you, those plans to prosper you and for good, and also basically to get you to a expected end. In another part of Jeremiah, it tells the prophet, hey, I knew you before you were in your mother's womb, while you're in your mother's womb. If you read in Psalms 139, it talks about our days were written in God's book before we experienced our first day. So, which means he has plans for each one of us. And as a matter of fact, if you look in Psalms 32:8, it speaks of, I will lead you with my eye. If you look at Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, it says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll make straight your paths. So, he's got plans. He has plans for us. It speaks in Isaiah about him being the potter, us being the clay.
Yes.
So he has plans for us. So if he has plans for us, at some point, should we consider one situation? If it's his plans, is he going to allow us to walk in a way, go in a way that doesn't acknowledge him? Where when we ignore him, we act as though he doesn't exist? He knew us before the foundation was planned. And here we are, we show up at a particular moment in time when we didn't ask to be born and we don't have the date in which we're scheduled to die. So it's his plan, but yet we have an insanity wherein we believe that we control everything, that we determine the outcome of everything. We can make decisions, certainly, because we're volitional. We have some level of sovereignty. We can make some decisions as to what we desire to do. If each one of us desires to put on, you got three or five, four different suits, and one's black, one's brown, you know, you got a white, and you have a gray sport coat, you can decide, if you have those resources, to put on a blue sport coat today with gray pants. Or you might put on the black suit. You know, there's, you have the volition ability to do that if you have those resources. But in our decision-making, God is the one who determines the outcome. Although I might put on that blue blazer with some gray pants and a shirt and a tie to match,
mm-hmm.
all right, it may be appropriate, it may not be appropriate with the setting that God has for me today. I can determine as best I can remember if I've scheduled or if I've got an itinerary to try to make those things go. But if I happen to run late in traffic, then it messes up my whole plan. It throws my whole day off. If I happen to get a, Dr. Hunter, if you happen to get a stomach ache, you know, wherein you have to use facilities and so forth, not being graphic, and you to feel better, that might throw your schedule off because it wasn't in your plan. It wasn't in your in those particular moments where you desire to do everything. So what I'm saying is we have some level of control, but if a true understanding is we don't control much.
We don't
in my example of the traffic, we can't control the person who's riding in the car next to us, in front of us, behind us. We can anticipate movement as we watch
mm-hmm.
and discern
yeah.
what's going on around us, but we can't make them do anything because we don't have that control. So we spend our life and a lot of good portion of it trying to get an understanding of what are we here for? Why? What are we to do? What's this all about? Allow me to take you to Matthew 6, and some call it the model prayer, other resources call it the Lord's Prayer, and it's Jesus talking to his disciples and saying, pray in this manner. And I'm going to take your particular attention to verse 10. Verse 9 says, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Holy is thy name. And then right after that, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Yeah.
Now, what does that mean? If for those of you who are Bible scholars or you've spent some time in the Word, if you remember Jesus on the scene and Jesus is saying, my kingdom is on the inside.
Yeah.
And it was a disappointment to a number of people because they were expecting him to become their ruler and displace Rome and let's fight and take back things and you lead us, you be our leader. And he says, no, I didn't come for that kind of stuff.
You know,
my kingdom's on the inside. It's on the inside. And, of course, as the Gospels unfold and you get past the crucifixion and you get to Acts and then Brother Paul comes on the scene and he explains even further, you recognize he was serious. His kingdom's on the inside. It's about transformation and walking out, walking by faith and not by sight and things of that nature led by the Holy Spirit. His kingdom's on the inside of man.
My God.
So he's saying, when you pray, ask God's kingdom to come. Let's bring it on now. And of course, we know that kingdom is on the inside. If you read Revelation and you've heard Revelation, and you say, oh, there's a revelation coming. It's coming. Jesus is coming back. We're gonna reign with him. And we're gonna be caught up in the air. And you know, the dead in Christ will rise first. Those things that you heard about Revelation. Thy kingdom come. But it also says, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And that's where, and that's my presentation, that's my thought, that's where I'm directed and come to at this point to say, for those of you who are listening, thy will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. I'd ask you to consider, what's his will in heaven? How do we know it? What do we know about that will in heaven? Well, first off, we know that there's an angelic host that accomplishes will. There are angels in heaven. As a matter of fact, in Hebrews, it indicates they're ministering spirits to the saints, to his kids, to the believers. As a matter of fact, we can boast in the fact that we have a guardian angel or two, because they are here to help and minister to us and help us through our circumstances here on earth. But we know that there's a Michael who was a mighty warrior, and there's Gabriel who delivers announcements from the king, from God. And they all have some specific purposes. So we know there's some angels, and the Bible speaks to that. But we know that they do God's will. He says, do this, or go this far, or go deliver this message, or go fight. And their total responsibility is to be obedient to God. You know, we know that because the Bible speaks to that. So thy will on earth, thy will
be done
on earth as it is in heaven.
Heaven.
That to me, that speaks of obedience, because the angels in their spiritual realm, they don't have the ability to say no. They are to do as they are bidden, as they're commanded, as God instructs them. That's what they're supposed to do. They can't say no. The one who did say no and decided, I want to sit where you sit, he was thrown out along with one-third of the angels. And we now know that they're those who oppose God's forces here on earth. But the angels can't have to do the will of God. So thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So it's not a quantum leap to decide that he desires his will to be done on earth just like the angels do it in heaven. Now, let me share a testimony with you. On yesterday, Dr. Hunter, I'm remarried, and I've got a wife who's a fancy dancer. In other words, you know, she loves to dance. It's part of the background, and I love it. Louisiana girl. And what I love about it is I've always desired to do it. When I was out there back in the day, you know, I partied just like that next person. As a matter of fact, you know, I couldn't enjoy a day unless I was out dancing hard. As a matter of fact, if I was doing something else, my disposition was such that I didn't feel right. Why? Because somebody's out there having fun without me. Now, of course, as I've grown and as I've experienced some of God's changing, that renewing of your mind and things like that, I have the passion for it, but certainly it's not my God. It's not, I just got to do it more than anything else. Not at all. But because I'd like to have the opportunity to dance with someone who's able to with a marital covenant and enjoy the fun of that, I've got me some dance lessons. I'm in a two-step class. Yes, I am. I'm in a two-step class. And I'm enjoying it. I'm having so much fun. I'm learning how to do some of those moves that I've seen people do throughout the years, and I say, boy, they look so great. That's a wonderful dance. It's romantic with your wife. And I said, I'd like to do it. And so I'm in a two-step class to learn how to, you know, basically to dance with my wife and honor God in the process, since it's his covenant. Now, Christians can have some fun, but I'm not going to some of those other places where we're serving all the alcohol, he's just trying to hook up with some woman. That's not my intent. I just want to be able to move in a way where we can enjoy each other. Kind of like a walk. Now, I'm laboring the point, but I'm just telling you, I enjoy it. So, yesterday, I have the opportunity. Oh, it's a dance day. I'm get to practice, Dr. Hunter. And I spend all day. Every time I think about it, I smile, Dr. Hunter. And boy, today I get to dance again. I get to learn some new moves, and I certainly had my little things that I was doing all day, just looking forward to the evening. When the evening came, but your dad, my dad, the sovereign God said, you're not going to make it to your dance class tonight. I got something else for you to do.
My God.
now, Dr. Hunter, I know the word, thy will on earth be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, he explained to me, because for those of you who hear from God, he explained to me he had something else for me to do. And I said, okay. But I said, let me take, I had to put on a suit, you know, I had to put on a tie and, you know, get all professional looking and all of that. And I said, but when I finish, in my mind, Dr. Hunter, I said, I'm going to need some dance clothes. So let me take my shirt and my jeans and my shoes. He said, Dr. Hunter, he said, you don't have to take that. But I said, I'm always prepared, Lord, you know, for the, I'm always prepared. He says, no, don't take those. He says, don't take it. You won't, you know, I got something else for you to do. Now, I've said, okay, Lord, you know, I'm obedient. You say you have something else for me to do. Don't take my jeans. Don't take my shoes. You know, don't, you're not going to be going to dance practice tonight. And I'm going along with the program, but every time I think about dancing, I light up. It's like, oh, Dr. Hunt, I'm saying, oh, I'm not going to get to dance tonight. I get a phone call. Person says, hey, you coming to class? And I said, no, I've got something else to do. And she says, well, hey, you got, that's 3 hours. She'll say, you know, how's it going to work out? You got plenty of time. And I'm saying, yeah, but I got something else to do. And she said, oh, let's see how it takes. She said, let's see how it works out. I'll give you a call later. And know, this is, I'm making a point, and I'm using me as an example. Now, today, of course of the night, I spent it doing the other thing that I had to do. I did make my dance class. I did receive a call back saying, no, I'm still not able to make it. And God comes to today, Mr. Dr. Hunter, in the wee hours of the morning. You know that moment when you sleep, but you're awake, you're conscious, but you haven't stepped out of bed. And he brings me this thought. And this thought is about his will. And what he told me is that when I look back on the events of the last night, do I remember how excited I was about going to dance class? Spent all day desiring to go. Couldn't wait till the evening came so I could go do what I desired to do. And yes, I said, okay, Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. But I didn't have the same excitement, Dr. Hunter.
I hear you.
I didn't have the same excitement. Every time I think about dancing, my whole spirit would light up. You know, you get that extra step and joy. And he pointed out to me that I didn't have the same joy about his will, about what he told me or shared with me he desired for me to do. So he called me on that, Dr. Hunter. I'm not going to let you get away with it. I'm going to share this with you so that we can distinguish and talk about this. You didn't. I'm the creator. I'm the one that says, I will guide you with my eye. I'm the one that said, you know, acknowledge me in all your ways and I'll make straight your path. I'm the one that says, I have the plans for you that will end up in the place where you're supposed to be. I'm the one that said, everything that happens to you works out for your good. And yet, when I explain to you what I desire for you to do, I express to you my will for this particular evening. You don't have the same level of joy and excitement about what I've asked you to do because I've asked you to be obedient.
Preach it, Joe.
Now, you are obedient, but you didn't have the same level commitment, excitement, and yours.
Amen.
About the will that I've expressed to you. Now, folks, it says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And here it is, the relationship that I have with my Father, the Holy Father, the Sovereign of the universe, and he's pointing me out and calling me out on, hey, I told you what I desire to do, and you just not as excited about that. So what about you guys or you ladies in the listening audience? Has that ever happened to you? Maybe not this dialogue exchange, but certainly some acknowledgement about what you're asked to do when you're going, You've learned to be obedient. You've learned to say, no, I'm not doing that because of consequences, perhaps. And he, but in your obedience, you still lack the enthusiasm that's necessary or that he's seeking. And that he called Grant Coleman on that. He brought it to my attention. Bottom line. And I'm just here to share it with you this evening. We are part of what we're here for is about obedience. If our Lord and Savior, Lord and Savior said, hey, let me teach you guys how to pray since you desire to do so, you ask for and acknowledge God. You can call him Dad. You can say Abba Father. You ask for his will to come because you're in agreement with his will being here. You're in agreement that the kingdom's on the inside of us. You ask and pray, and you say, we want your will of obedience to be done here on earth in the same manner as the angels do it in heaven. And he goes on to say about forgiveness and give us this day our daily bread and the other things, keep us from evil. But in a part of this, he's acknowledging God has a will for us, a plan for us. And we, as his kids, as believers, as disciples of Christ, are responsible for being obedient. Imagine this. There's the story, the Bible says, there's a paragraph, a passage that speaks of Moses. My servant is dead. And the mantle's passed on to Joshua. And he says, Joshua, this is what you got to do. You stay with me. No left, no right. Stay in the, you stay focused on me. Meditate on my word. No man will stand against you. On me, you have success. And then they get to Jericho. Jericho is one of those cities that's fortified. They say about the walls that they had chariot races on the top of the walls. Two chariots racing. It was that wide. There was a fortified city. And he tells Joshua, hey, you guys, we're going to get you to walk around and you're going to acknowledge me. You're going to shout. You're going to blow a trumpet. You're going to say something. You do that one time every day. And then on the last day, you do it a bunch of more times. And the walls of Jericho are going to fall down. Now, these are the warriors. They've learned to fight. They're walking the land. They're following God's lead. And God says, hey, this is how I want you to handle it. Now, don't you believe there were some folks who said, that makes absolutely no sense? That's not what we do. We are fighters. We have swords. We have learned to conquer. Mm-hmm. By the way, this place we're going, we can't even get over the walls. They're tall. They're big. We can't do nothing. And he said, hey, walk around, shout, acknowledge me, blow a trumpet, worship, and then do it a whole bunch of times on the last day. Mm. And they did it. And of course, we know that the walls fell down, and we know and Jericho was taken. But what I am saying is, God will give us His plans. He'll share bits and pieces of His plan. He will share with us aspects of His will. And if he told us the whole plan, we'd probably say, all right, God, we got it. We'll take it from here. We can make this happen. We'll bring this to pass. And, of course, in our doing it, we'll be taking his glory and trying to execute his plan.
Amen.
He's not going to have that. So he doesn't share everything. When he gives you a vision, he gives you an aspect of the vision, since he speaks to his kids in visions. But he doesn't give you the whole plan. He doesn't play the whole movie for you because you'll try to do it without it. He's learned that through these human beings that came before us. So what I am saying is he will give us his will. He will share his plan. Remember he told a minister and an organization, go do some sit-ins. Go sit around and just be there. Y'all pray. After praying, go sit down. Don't go out and do this and do some of the other stuff people are talking about. You go do it this way. Of course, we know historically those sit-ins brought about a change in America and shamed America across the world so that what was desired were rights or privileges for the Negroes came to pass. Mm-hmm. So we know that there's a plan where he tells Elijah, he says, hey, tomorrow, or whenever it was he said it, I need you to go over on Mount Carmel. And I need you to command heaven, say some things, put the water in all the different things. I'm going to explain how I want you to do it. But tomorrow you're going to display my glory. But God has to share aspects of his plan, and we get to cooperate with him. And we know the results of Mount Carmel. The prophets of Baal didn't fare so well. But certainly, God came down and burned up everything, even after it was soaked with water. And he displayed his glory on that particular day through that prophet, through that believer. God shares his will with those in covenant with him, with those who he believes, those who desire to please him. And in that will, we're cooperating with the plans that he says he has for us. So for those of you who are listening, I'm just asking you to consider something. How can we believe that we can exist without him in a world that he designed? Remember, he did this. He spoke. It jumped into existence. And the heavens and the two heavens separated and the things that it talks about in Genesis. How can we exist in this world and act like he doesn't exist? Or act like we don't need him? He set the world up. So if he's got the plans, do we really think we can go through life and not acknowledge him and act as though he doesn't exist? Remember, Christ said when he's on his way to heaven, when he's talking to his guys and says, I'm out of here, what does he say? He says, hey, this you're going to have some tribulation. But, hey, I've overcome them. Don't fear. Don't worry about it. I've overcome all of that. So it's all by design. It's all planned. How can we as finite beings who don't know when we get here and don't have an idea as to when he plans for us to leave?
But yet we
think we know it all.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
What I'm suggesting to those of you who are listening, if that's you, where you are, or if you can remember being there and you've moved just a little bit further, get to know the Savior.
Yeah.
Get to know the one, since this is all planned, God sends a son to cover up, redeem, pay the debt of our rebellion.
Yeah.
Saying, we run this. And then you find out you don't run it well. You can't run it far. You can't do anything with it. And you find out I don't control nothing. Nothing. If when you take a pill with hopes of trying to get some pain to go away, you're covering up the pain, but you can't stop it from happening. So anything we do after a while, we recognize that our efforts are just futile. So get to know the Lord. Get to know the Savior. Give some consideration for the abundant life that he said he came to give you, since the thief comes to steal and destroy and mess it up. Give some consideration to that. Now, the abundance that I'm talking about is not, hey, you're going to be a millionaire. It's not, hey, we're going to make you a billionaire. If that's his plan, so be it. How about a circumstance where if you're in a desperate circumstance that you don't have a lot of control out of, that you have a promise that, hey, because you have accepted my son as your Savior and you give some credence to him and you love him and you're getting to know him better, you have him in the meantime. How about the peace that you need to exist in that circumstance? How about the knowledge that, well, it's not going so well at work or wherever you happen to be, and you can tell there's some people who are hating on you. You can tell that there's some attitudes about your appearance or how you speak or your work effort, and you get to say that none of that stuff you guys are doing, no weapon formed against me is going to prosper because my Lord said, my God said, he's the one that takes care of that for me. And because it's one of my heritage. It's a promise given to the saints. You get to stand in that way. What about someone who's you're trying to come out of an addiction and you just can't get it done? You can't do it by yourself. And then you read a scripture and someone explains it to you and it indicates that anything that you experience, God has already got a design for. He doesn't give you any more than you can handle. And they tell you, I've got confidence in you. I believe you can do it. I'm an encourager. I know that you can leave that alcohol alone. You can leave those drugs alone with the help of Jesus, and you get to stand and say, well, there's no temptation that anybody else hadn't experienced, so therefore, since they know about the temptation, he knows what I'm tempted to do. If I ask him, I have the confidence that he's going to come through for me too. So, folks, what I'm saying is it's an opportunity.
It is.
Once you look back over your life to see that you are not in control. You are not, and everything does not revolve around you. And this whole thing is you're just one of those persons that God has given the opportunity to accept his son and cover up the rebellion that you've already displayed in your life. I'm not going to say he's made it easy. I'm not going to do that. What I am going to say is he's given quite a lot of consideration to this plan, and it simply indicates that if you confess the sin, he who is faithful and just will forgive you, and it said will cleanse you of any unrighteousness, further rebellion. So he's got a cleanup process involved to change you from that one person into another, to redeem you, and then allowing you get a chance to get intimate with him, and he gets to take out some of the stuff in your circumstance, in your life, in your heart, that's just not good for you. So I thank Dr. Hunter and the others who are present on the line for giving me an opportunity just to share something about God's will. As he showed and called Grant Coleman on it, you happen to enjoy your dancing more than you enjoy being a servant to me. So now that you know that, let's act a little differently. Let's embrace that will. Let's worship that will. As a matter of fact, he said, why don't you pray that will back to me? Pray it back to me.
To me.
Now.
Amen.
And brothers and sisters, there's a few other scriptures. Just let me just tickle you with. One of them says that if two or three together, Christ is in the midst. Another one says that if any two agree on anything, it will be done on earth. So what about Dr. Hunter and others on the line? What about racism, since I've had an opportunity to speak about that in the past? What if we all decide, Lord, we want you to stop it? We'd love to show love as Jesus asked us to, since he gave us this commandment and says, I love you, now go love others as I've loved you. And we've not done a good job of it. We've actually shown hatred even amongst the body of Christ. Please forgive us of our ignorance, knowing that he, and the confidence that we have, he will forgive us of it. And then, Lord, we're going to pray that will back to you. Give us the opportunity to love the hate out of these people. Give us the opportunity to go and speak to them and share this word in a way so that they can understand we're supposed to be disciples and obedient to Christ. If you love me, keep my commandments. And he says, go love some folks. Go show it. And what they will be able to recognize is that you are mine. You belong to me. That you represent me. You're the ambassador that I've empowered. You're the one who is the church outside of the doors. And he'll give you an opportunity. If you do it, he'll take, as the Bible says, you become the salt in the earth. You preserve it. You add the flavor to it. He'll take the bushel off or the top off and show you and blow you up in the world so that others can see as you go about doing good works for him, but he does it through you. Since it's Christ who lives in us, you'll be able to be that walking testimony where you're able to share the circumstances that brought you to a point of repentance and the walk and the journey and the level of intimacy and what God has done with you and through you since then, so that they can put checks in their boxes and say, I want that. I desire that. My life is not turning out so well. I need another captain. I tried to do it myself, and it's just not working well for me. You'll be able to lead them to Christ and then share with them the meaning of the gospel.
Yeah.
That's what he's asking us to do. And we cooperate with his plan that he has for us.
Amen.
Bringing about his will on earth as it is in heaven.
My.
Dr. Hunter, thank you for an opportunity just to be a blessing to the body of Christ.
Amen.
Thank you for an opportunity to point it out to me. Thank you for the opportunity to use me as an example.
Amen.
And again, I love you for it, and thank you for this this particular moment in time just to reach out to those who are listening to the word and the prayers that go forth from this show.
Now, Second Chronicles 7:14, Grant Coleman, there are a lot of lines on the phone, and they got some questions and statements they want to make. Is it okay with you?
Yes, sir. All right.
Line one is open. 116, 3716, you're open. You got something to say. Hallelujah. All right, let's go to 25:57. The line's open. My.
Amen. That was an on-time word because we tend to put everything before God. And I thank God for that word for all of us, the ones that say that God is first in everything that we do. Excuse me for 1 minute.
Amen. Praise God. See, you got to dance with the dog now.
Amen. Yes, I do. But the dog got to go because God is first.
No!
Amen. We have to. God has to be first in everything that we do. Even with my grandchildren, I ask them, first thing in the morning, did you say thank you to God? Not did you ask him anything. Did you say thank you for waking me up this morning?
Amen.
And that's what we have to instill in one another, to put God first in everything. Some say command your day, but no, God has already commanded your day. God has already set your day. One day is for 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day to God. So it's already been predestined. It's already been pre-ordered, preset.
Amen.
It's according to his will that we're following.
Amen.
His will and his plan. But a lot of times we tend to get off course because we find ourselves loving, like the judge said tonight, loving things more than we love God. But I want to hear the excitement about God again. When you first fell in love with God, how did it make you feel? Just like the judge said, he got a new wife and he fell in love, and she loves to dance, and she just brought something back out of him that he remembered that he loved to do. Well, we are made in his image, in his likeness. We are God's creation, and it's that same thing should be in our belly, should be burning, that what it is that to please God. What can I do today to please my Father? And it should be a joy, and it should be an excitement about doing it. Some people make serving God a hard choice, but it's not.
Amen.
God already pre-planned everything that we must go through. But if we keep our eyes on the prize, that's stuff and those things, it shouldn't matter whether you're rich or whether you're poor. Long as you got Jesus Christ, you're rich anyway. Money can't buy this. Money cannot buy this. Money can't give you peace. Money can't give you joy. Money can't give you happiness. But what God has given you has embedded in us. And that everlasting peace, that peace that surpasses all understanding. We got to take on a Christ-like mind. So I thank God for the word on tonight. God bless you, Amen. Judge.
Amen. All right. Let's see. Another line. What I say is, well, one thing I say, I like the way the judge said it. When I learned, see, I'm a dancer. When I was a dancer, I learned to dance. The two-step, the foxtrot, you name it. I learned how to dance. One day, I asked God to dance with me, and God showed me. You're no match for me, but God showed me how to dance. I floated on the two-step. Oh, glory. Oh, yes. I learned what it means. That's when I learned how to do a holy dance. That's when I learned. All right, let's see. We got line, one line over here. 2874, you're there. Amen. Well, praise.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We got 8855. See, I don't have your names tacked out. They have a number. And all I'm trying to do is your last four. 855.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, everybody, and glory to God in the highest. The judge is a good treat. He gives us good, it's like you eating your meal and you want good ice cream or good dessert. And I love the way you question to make us think. That's what I love. That's what my goal is, to stir up the minds of people and to make them think and ponder on the questions. Because, we live with our thoughts all day long. That's why the Bible tells us to meditate on Him. So you hit the nail on the head. Matter of fact, the just even calling into this program, I had to decide whether I wanted to be on this program or watch my program that was on TV. So yeah, you was right on time. Yeah, I mean, pray for the people that ain't as faithful as the faithful. And I'm one of them. So, cause yeah, and you know, we don't want to be lukewarm. You know, those are the people gonna get spewed out of his mouth. The ones who can't make up their mind whether they should always put God first. I mean, I give God the first part of my day, and then by the evening time, I'm ready to kind of dwindle down, you know. But that ain't so. We don't know what time he's coming. We don't know. So I covered all y'all's prayers, like I pray for the orphans and for Israel and for those that have backslidden. I need prayer, those that are procrastinators and those who haven't, who think they are hot, who are lukewarm, need much prayer.
Amen. Oh, praise the living God. Anybody? Let's see. I got a line of 4038. You're open. 4038 is your last phone number. Amen. Well, let's see here. One more time. Praise God. We got a line here. 4299. Are you on the line with me?
Yes, this is Apostle Esther Limbrick, and I thank God for calling in tonight, and truly, I'm always blessed to hear the saints and the praises and what God has done. And all I can say to everybody tonight, I want to thank God because I have His perfect peace, and nobody
Amen.
Know what perfect peace is. It is. It means you're not shaken by nothing, not nothing. And what I love is being faithful into what God called you to do, being faithful. And in doing that, you have to be a committed person. Somebody was talking about marriage. see, I look at faithfulness as I look to a marriage. Like you say, when you make a commitment to someone in a marriage, you have to be faithful. And the brother that was talking about the dance and everything, that's a great thing. If you find love in dancing with your wife or whatever, that's good. And I just share this one little testimony. I can recall I had a vision one time, and I know I was with the Lord, and the Lord knows, he knows that I like to dance. And so it was like wherever we were, it was like a ballerina-type dance. And it was like the Lord.
Okay. That's pretty.
The Lord got behind me, and he threw me up like the ballerina people do, and spinning me around, and oh, we just had a ball dancing, and but I could never see his face, and I was so happy. The reason I was so happy because, you know, I'm pretty heavy. I'm 200 pounds. So
no,
I'm
you're
like,
not. No, you're not.
God, I said, God, I never knew there could be a man that could pick me up and spin me around. I say, my God, what a thrill it is to have my husband, Jesus Christ, dance with me. So all I'm saying, he knows what you really like. He know your heart's desire. So I always tell everybody about that vision and dream, because I believe when I'm translated to heaven, I'm going to be one of the greatest ballerina dancers. So I hope I encourage somebody tonight, because if we don't do it on this side, we're going to do it on the other side.
Hallelujah.
Thank God.
Amen. Well, you know, this line, 3716, you're on the line with us. Come on and tell us what God has done for you. I love the Lord. My God, my God. Amen. You know what, 2 Chronicles 7:14, Grant Coleman, one of the things I've come to appreciate more than ever, the more I'm sitting behind the screen seeing this actual radio station moving out to the universe, moving out, and the voice, each one is moving out there. And one thing I was reading, God the Father, the Creator and His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, God the Father, also in creation. He was in creation, by creation, through creation. John chapter 1 says, die for our sins. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, and he's making intercession for us. And one thing I would say, intercession, when he intercedes for us, he's talking to God the Father. And so I always say this to somebody, because some people don't understand when I say I like butter pecan ice cream. I love butter pecan.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't eat it. I can't eat it like I used to.
Mm-hmm.
I love butter pecan, but I can't eat it like I used to, because it affects my health now. See, there's certain things you have to let go of. Like I was saying, when God speaks to us on this side, he lives in us. And I love the way, see, the judge is a man of God. I thank God for allowing us to come together, for seeing what we've seen. But we know we live in this time we now live in. It's going to take all of us on the radio station to start praying one for another. Praying one for another. Because the enemy has come. Jesus has said, he said, the enemy comes. In John 10:10, the enemy comes with one purpose. His purpose is to do what? To kill.
Steal and kill.
Mm-hmm. That's his whole purpose.
Destroy.
Mm-hmm.
And see, when you see that young lady who was pregnant, And that just, when I saw the news, I said, I won't look at the more news. I mean, here she is, a young lady married to the pastor. They give me the go and have time together. And somebody unknowingly, we don't know when time is up. Bam, bam, she's dead. And the baby she's carrying. Can you let me know that was an abortion on top of a murder? Yes, it was.
Mm-hmm.
We got to pray. And God says in 2 Chronicles 17, the portion of, now mine eyes shall be open, and mine ears shall attend unto their prayers that are made in this place. When we say this place, the radio, at where we are, we got to pray vehemently. We got to pray more. We got to pray like never before. And all I can say to you, what I'm learning more, the more God reveals himself to me, the more I humble myself to him, the more I make no compromise.
Amen.
No compromise. Well, we're going to shoot tonight. We're going to shoot me. I'm a dead man anyway, but I'm living in Christ Jesus. Go on, kill me. We got to take a position.
Amen.
And he's told us how to go. See, and oh, hallelujah, bah-ha-ha-ha-yah. He told the disciples, he said, Father, we got 5,000 people and they're hungry. We don't know how to feed them. And Jesus said, he taught them as he said, we are to be taught. He has got to move this by faith. He said, show me what you got. Good God Almighty. Show me what you got. What you got in your hand? They had fish and they had bread. He lifted up to the Father, and the Father fell. The Father fed over 6,000 plus people. That's the kind of God we serve. Somebody said, well, God got me. God ain't got you. He got you through Jesus Christ. You got to come to know Jesus. And why spend enough with the judge tell you quick. He says, if you don't know Jesus Christ, you don't know God. If my people, which are called by his name, shall humble. Now, the word humble, as one old man said, well, I got so humble till they started to feed me humble pie. I don't mean it. He said, and pray. Pray is a conversation. We got to open up our mouth. Open up my mouth and talk to God and give him his word and seek my face. Now, to seek God's face is through Jesus Christ. But prophetess, she said, Esther said, I said one day I want to dance. I want to dance cross heaven. I want to do the holy dance cross heaven. Now, I don't know when I'm going to get there, but when I get there, because according to the word of God, it's from the beginning to the beginning. It's from the end to the end. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Somebody else got a word. Somebody out there. I know somebody behind the lean got a word to say. I'm not afraid. See, I got in a ring with a big guy named Muhammad Ali. And folks say, you was a fool. No, I wasn't. When I got up there and saw his moves, I said, well, we won. They said, what you mean we won? I said, look at my gloves. My gloves are lifting. I'm still standing. That's how you win.
Yes, sir.
That's how you win.
You don't give up. That's right.
You put them in the cage, you get outside the cage. Well, when are you going to come fight me? I said, I just won. That's how you do it. I'm telling you what I've experienced. So we got to come to the place where we got to say, we got to teach each other, we got to pray for each other, we got to forgive each other. And one thing I've always come to understand, and I thank God for my wife, because my wife, when we were dancing, we danced. We go out to the place where we would dance. Now, we didn't go find a crowd, but we go to the place where the special place we go dance. We go put quarters in there, nickels in there, and we dance, slow dance, the huggy hug. You know what I'm talking about, somebody say amen. And so,
amen. Amen.
Amen. And so I know that there's truth in what has been said tonight. Hallelujah. The lines are still open. Anybody got any words that they want to say about what God has said tonight? Judge, we'd like to have you on every Thursday night if it's possible. Is it possible?
Well, hey, I'm committed to it. But as you you've seen, I had a few challenges. I've had a few challenges on the way. Remember last week?
Yes.
and the tire issue. It's okay though. I heard someone say tonight. What's that?
I said.
What's that, Doctor Hunter?
Tell us what the devil tried to do to you last week.
Well, last week. I was placed on one busy freeways with cars coming from two directions converging right in front of where the car was. I got in one of those little, I guess I was on 59 where I-10 was coming to 59 and 59 traffic was coming right down there by the George R. Brown, and I was on the little triangle that's right before. Where the freeways come together. So if I'm looking at 70 mile an hour traffic coming one direction, 70 mile an hour traffic coming the other direction, and I've got to change a tire. I was driving, the tire just ran out of air, and I had to put another one on. And of course, it happened right when I was supposed to come on the show, Dr. Hunter. So I thank you for allowing me to get on and just explain the circumstances. But it's been a challenge sometimes to be able to visit with you. That's why when I talked with you earlier, I said I'm at home, nothing else to do. I desire to be on the show, and God gave me something to share today based on the experience of yesterday. So for those of you, just to recap, he didn't say, Grant Coleman, you got this idol. He didn't say that. He just says, hey, you're supposed to have the same joy to participate and cooperate with my will that I've laid out for you. And even with it, I was still focused on the dance. I didn't share this with you before. And the manner in which he did it was when I spoke with the person called me on the phone, he says, you could have said, God willing. Or you could have said, hey, God kind of told me I won't be able to make that tonight. But I didn't do that. What I did was kind of allow the person to talk and say, well, I think I've got something else to do, but if possible, if I can, I'll make it over there, which is me saying, I still want to go. I still want to go to dance when he's already indicated to me, no, that's not my will concerning this matter. And that's what he checked me on. So, yes, I was obedient, but my heart and my mind still desired what Grant Coleman wanted to do, and that's what he called me on. So for each of one of us, yes, he didn't say it's an idol. He just said I had a lack of appreciation for the will that he desired for my life, and I still wanted to do what I wanted to do. So even though I'm yielded, even though I said you have my permission, I've decided to take up the cross and follow. He still said, in this instance, you still desired to do what you wanted to do. And he called me on it. So I had to repent. I had to express, oh, Lord, you're right about it. I can't deny it because my heart still desired to participate in that way. And he just reminded me in a wonderful way of how important his will is. Because his will affects someone else. This is one thing I had to do last night. My son had a friend. His friend's father passed, and what I'd indicated to him was that I desire to come support him, support his friend.
He's there
with his friend. The friend has lost the dad. He's there. He's concerned about him. He called me and said, Dad, will you pray for him? And so I came to support him. But in the process, I'm saying, okay, this will take 30 minutes. I can stay 30 minutes. I can stay an hour. Now, still have time to get to dance practice. Now, that's what could have happened. But God says, he said, no, you're not going. You're not doing that tonight.
Oh, glory.
You're not doing that tonight. And because I was able to stay and participate and be a blessing to my son as he tried to be a blessing to the two friends who lost the dad, it was an awesome thing to experience. The persons who interacted with my son, the family who had lost a dad, they came up and said, "You got an awesome son," because he had been there with them, walking with them, talking to them, explaining some things of God. And then he called me and said, "Dad, you pray for him." So this was just one of those things that was destined last night that interrupted my opportunity to go dance. But I'm so glad that I was able to do it. My son appreciated it so much. He the fact that I was there supporting him as he walked with his friend who lost a dad, he appreciated it so much. So God was honored last night, and it had nothing to do with me on the dance floor. I was using a different manner. And I'm glad he called me in my flesh on my desire. Because even when I talk to the person on the phone, "Hey, what are you going to do?" "Well, you still got time to go. You don't have to spend a whole night there." And I should have said, "Hey, I got something else to do. God's got another plan for me. I just won't make it." So I now know, you know, that's how I'm going to announce it. I'm going to confess his will and speak his will and pray his will and not be bashful about sharing his will. Amen?
Amen. And you know,
amen.
You know, amen. Tonight is a night where the sons of God met in the high places, and we watched God move about through everyone on this radio station tonight, even though some behind the scene. One thing I will say tonight, as we got about another 5 or 10 more minutes, I would ask this question to all believers. Can we pray one for another?
Amen.
Can we, will we, shall we pray one for another? Some of you I haven't seen, some of you I have. See, and one thing I've learned, if you can believe in what God is doing, God, through Jesus Christ, will make it come to pass. You heard the teacher say, God has an angel. He sees us and he's, go down there and bless this old KSK radio station. Go down and bless them. That's how the God we serve. That's how the God we worship. That's how the God we love, through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ. And so tonight I got one of my hosts. I'm going to ask Arroyo, would you close us out in prayer, please?
Amen.
Amen. Arroyo?
Yes, I had my phone on mute, but I'm here. I was enjoying that. Oh, my Father God, in the blessed name of Jesus, we come thanking you for this fellowship, thanking you for this night, thanking you for the openness and the love that is shared on this line. And we pray, Father, that those that do listen and hear with their spirit be able to share too and enjoy and bless us also. We thank you, Father, for binding the enemy.
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit to be in full control. We thank you, Father, for the unity of the body all over the world, and blessing you, blessing the peace of Jerusalem, blessing the orphans and those that are in sex trafficking, those that are juveniles that are committing heinous crimes. This here couple that the husband came home, found his wife shot, who was pregnant. Oh, God, it's just ungodly. We just thank you, Father, for keeping us safe, and we ask you to keep our loved ones safe and the body of Christ all over the world safe, Lord. We are in some trying times, but we know, Father, to be absent from the body is to be present with you. Let us be ready at all times. Let us be on fire, Father. Not let us be lukewarm, but keep us with our fire burning and our oil lit, our lamps lit. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you. Amen.
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 And you know,
amen.
Amen.
Amen. Tonight that I always say, I love you. It ain't nothing you can do about it. Amen. I see you on the
side.
Amen.
Love you and nothing
amen.
You can
amen.
Say about it. Love you, love you, love you. Amen.
Amen.
Good
amen.
Night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.